all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, April 3rd. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Coming up this hour, it's time for moms to make a difference. Again. You see, with hundreds of members and thousands of followers, Motherhood for Good is motivating an entire block of voters, busy moms, who otherwise might skip tomorrow's critical state Supreme Court election. The group's five-member executive board, they all join us to make one final pitch to parents about the very real impact this race is going to have on families in Wisconsin. Then tomorrow in our 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be good and busy, starting right off the top with Wisconsin's new Secretary of State, Sarah Godlewski, and former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So a very busy couple of days ahead for us. Aaron Zommer standing by in Madison. He can take your calls at 844-967-2789 and 715-388-7155. Aaron, I figured out how to use these phone numbers to give away two tickets for tomorrow night's Brewers game.
Is that so? Do tell.
It's going to involve a little work for you, unfortunately. Now it's going to be the first person who answers this question, and it's not impossible, but you're going to have to do a little work. We've been talking about Janet Protasiewicz for weeks. Spell Protasiewicz. The first person to call in with the correct spelling who wants two tickets emailed to them for tomorrow night's Brewer game can call us at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Call in. First person who can actually give the correct spelling to Janet Protasiewicz's last name and wants those tickets is going to get them. So again, call us up. If you you can put the comment on our live feed under Facebook, but that's not going to help you at all, you know. But you might help somebody who's going to call in and is thinking about it and is running right now to the Google machine to try to figure it out. Radio at upnorthnewswi.com is our email address. I want to talk briefly about the indictment of Donald Trump, which is supposed to happen tomorrow, and how I have said previously that even though it's possible that a quote-unquote jury of his peers may not convict Donald Trump, tomorrow still represents a win. It represents a win for American justice. The simple notion that a grand jury found probable cause to charge somebody with a crime, even if it's a former president, is special. It says something about how the system continues to work here in Wisconsin. And it's not something that is, how shall we say, a politically motivated DA, which is how Republicans are rather shamefully describing this as a politically motivated attack, but instead something that it's right for justice. It sets the record that no person is above the law. Let's see, Aaron, you're working. Did they not? Are you asking me to be the judge of this? They didn't spell it for you.
Well, I thought it'd be fun if we have them on air for it. But
oh well, anyway, in that case, Lynn from Oconomowoc, welcome to the first annual Up North News Radio Spelling Bee, Lynn. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Well, good, good. I wasn't expecting that this was going to be a live radio challenge, but since Aaron's put me up to it, because I put him up to this contest in the first place, let's have it, Lynn. How do you spell Protasiewicz?
Protasiewicz.
Aaron? All right, there we go. Lynn, congratulations. Let's see, you're in Oconomowoc, so I'm guessing if we email you a couple of tickets to tomorrow night's game, you might be able to put them to use?
I will.
All right. I'm jealous, but I'm glad. Enjoy the game. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing along and calling in. And
thank
Aaron's
so going to
take
you
your information
daily
and get those emailed off to you. So have a great day. Thank you. All right. See, that's what happens when you throw a curveball like that at Aaron. He sometimes will throw the curveball right back at you. So let's just take a second to review what it is about this particular charge. This is about lying about your finances. In other words, it's a white collar crime. It's not sexy. It's not Al Capone. It's not Donald Trump shooting somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue. It is a crime, nevertheless, to lie about how your campaign is funded. It is a crime to not disclose the ways in which your campaign for president is funded. And there has been enough of an investigation to show not only that the records were false, but that they were knowingly false, and that they were knowingly false at the instruction of Donald Trump himself. Again, as a white-collar crime, it's not heinous, but in terms of running for president, if we want our elections to be as clean as we can make them, we're not going to be Pollyanna about this, but the least we can do is hold somebody accountable. And even if this ends in some kind of a fine for Donald Trump, that would be a good thing from the standpoint of showing that nobody's above the law. Now, do I think there are bigger penalties involved later in some of these other cases, like documents or that phone call to Georgia? Oh, yes. Yes, I do. But this indictment here means that the rules have to mean something. And so don't give Donald Trump an ounce of your pity tomorrow. Frankly, don't give him an ounce of your attention. This is justice working as it should. We're going to get an update from Weatherology next, and then the women who head up Motherhood for Good will join us to talk about the election next. You're up north.
In the end, what doesn't kill you makes you strong.
We're going to talk to the women at the executive board of Motherhood for Good coming up in just a sec, because tomorrow is election day. It's a very big day. We always encourage folks to vote early or vote absentee, because the weather is never a given. But as we found out on Friday, where we had, you know, a blizzard overnight, but by the end of Saturday, my driveway was just black asphalt again. So we're going to turn now to Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology to tell us what we have happening around the state for the start of weather this week. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning to you.
What do we have for a picture here after that whiplash of weather that we had Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, essentially kind of the same thing as well. A little bit of all over the place here throughout the state. A little bit farther to the north, it's going to be a bit more of a wintry weather sort of thing. But for the rest of the state, it's not going to be too bad as far as winter weather is concerned. However, an interesting day coming in, particularly for the southern portions of the state here on Tuesday. Looks like a slight chance for rain developing late this afternoon in the southern parts of the state today, with cloudy skies, highs in the 50s primarily, and slightly above average for this time of the year. Better chance for rain tonight in those areas. A dry day until the late evening hours for much of the central and western portions of the state today, lingering in the mid-40s to mid-50s. For Tuesday, though, things start to get a little bit more interesting. A good chance for some rain, mainly in the afternoon hours for much of the state, Wausau down to Richland Center over to Milwaukee, and it looks like a risk for severe weather as well for some. Oshkosh to Richland Center looking at a marginal risk for severe weather. Milwaukee, Waukesha, and Madison more in that slight risk for severe weather tomorrow. The main concern with this will be large hail and damaging winds. However, can't entirely rule out a possible tornado or two as well. In the west, around Amory and Baldwin tomorrow, looking at a mix of rain and snow in the morning hours, then becoming more of a chance for some rain, and not looking at a chance for severe weather there for tomorrow as well. Cooler and a bit below average here for Wednesday in the 40s for most as well. Excuse me, for your Tuesday in the 40s for most as a cold front moves into the area. Then for Wednesday, it still looks like a slight chance for some rain for the southern parts of the state, a rain snow mix in the west to the central parts. And then it does look like mainly a dry and sunny forecast for the second half of the work week ahead as a warm front will begin to push through.
And now a public service announcement from our meteorologist at Weatherology, who I'm sure, like the rest of us, saw that video of a woman standing in an open door and filming as a tornado struck the building and nearly sucked her out. Jennifer, is there anything you would like to say about what you should do near doors and windows when there's a tornado in the area?
Not that.
Thank you.
Ladies,
Jennifer, honestly, we say it all the time, and I'm sure you saw that and just went like, no, why do we say this all the time? Why do you do this? We're glad she's safe, right?
Yes, absolutely. As long as she's safe, that's good. But just don't do it.
No, please don't. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Well, Jennifer Wojcicki, we'll talk to her again tomorrow to get an update on the weather. All right. Those of you watching the live video feed on Facebook, you can do that at the Up North News Facebook page. You can do it at the Civic Media page. You can do it at the Bull Falls Radio page. Looking and going well. This is our first six box of video, because we don't just have Nicole and Kate from Motherhood for Good. We've got the entire executive board here, and can't wait to hear them talk about the importance of voting in this election. Kate, we'll pick on you first as one of the co-founders of the bunch. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. How are you? It's nice to see you again. Nice to talk to you. It's been a minute.
I know. You as well. Kate, for those folks who aren't following Motherhood for Good on Instagram, and you really should, whether you're a busy mom or anything else, is just to learn about how politics, you know, is it should be part of our daily lives, even for busy parents. You had this video with you and your kid. Well, you thought you were just going to fill up postcards on your own about the election. You showed how your little guy was asleep on the baby monitor. And then came, how did you call it? Naptivism. Activism while kids are napping. I love
that. Yeah, we like to call that naptivism. Anytime somebody can get something in, it all adds up. That's why we always kind of preach that stuff. That's why it doesn't have to be a huge thing. Anything you can do, even if it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes writing some postcards while the kid is napping, or what I thought, I was hoping he was going to continue napping.
But I saw that lasted for about a hot minute, didn't it?
Yeah, you know what? So I just pivoted like all parents do, pulled a chair up for him, and he ended up, I mean, I wrote postcards and he took some crayons and stickers and decorated them. So whoever got those, I guess you're welcome. I don't know. But the point is to just do it whenever you can. And it's actually extra special to kind of get the kids involved. It's a lot of what we do is for our kids, making a better, fairer, kinder world for them, a kinder future. And so involving them in that, just is kind of special, and hopefully something that they kind of latch onto as they get older as well and remember.
Yeah. And Nicole, you talked about what a busy first week or this last weekend of action. What were some of the things that kept you busy throughout this entire weekend of letting people know about the importance of the race?
Yeah, it definitely was a busy weekend. I went to a canvass in Green Bay, and as well as one in Appleton, and it was really exciting. Got out with State Rep Christina Shelton in Green Bay, and then State Rep Lee Snodgrass in Appleton. It was so good to get out and see the community. Had some really great conversations with people. Green Bay, I even got offered a beer, a couple of hugs. So very, very good group of people. Also had a mom who was just completely flabbergasted. I was at the door. She was like, "Oh, I've been feeling so down about the election." And she introduced me to her daughters and said, "Hey, this is what it's all about." And, you know, it was really impactful to me. I think sometimes, you know, particularly those of us who are out here talking about this all the time, we're all in our little bubble, right? And we all share the same thoughts. But when you reach someone who isn't there and realize how impactful it is and how similar most of us feel about what's happening this election. Anyway, it really meant a lot.
Well, let's introduce the other members of the board as well. Let's start with Aaron. I'm just going to go around my little video box here on screen. Aaron Phillips. Aaron, tell us where you're from and a bit about what motivated you to be part of Motherhood for Good.
Sure. Well, I live in Wauwatosa. I'm from New Mexico. I actually moved here last July. Learned about Moms for Mandela, which of course was the sort of previous iteration of Kate's brilliance. Jumped in. Buckled up and joined the ride. I knew I was moving to a purple state and wanted to help.
That's great. And Emily, tell us about where you're from and a bit of your background.
Hi, I'm Emily, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, but I grew up in the suburbs of Milwaukee near Germantown. And yeah, I got involved during the Mandela race, and I've been involved, you know, gradually in politics, I would say much more active when I was in college at UW. And I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I just want the world to be better for her. So we all joined together, and that's why we're here.
All right. That was Emily Tynan. Now Danielle Scampini. Danielle, good morning. Tell us a little bit about what brought you here.
Hi, good morning. I'm Danielle. I currently live in Elm Grove, but I grew up in Tosa. I left I even went to Marquette, but, you know, lived in Illinois and Indiana for a little bit. I like to say that the only election, presidential election in my lifetime that did not go to a Democrat was 2016. And it's also the only time that I did not vote in Wisconsin in a presidential election. So I've been involved in politics pretty much my whole adult life. And yeah, just like the other moms on this call, you know, I have three young kids, and I want to make sure that the world is getting brighter and better for them and not darker and scarier. And I think that's what we're all here for.
And to be clear, Danielle, we do not hold you responsible for 2016 and the outcome of it.
But I'm hoping that being back kind of brings back a little bit more of that energy that we all
It is that reminder. In 2016, a lot of folks did stay home for various reasons. Either they were so confident, they were complacent, or they were, you know, on the fence about Hillary Clinton because of all the things that were said about her. Whatever the reason was, a lot of people, Kate, stayed home. And that is the complacency and the lack of information that seems to me is at the heart of Motherhood for Good. But why don't you give us a quick refresher on what its mission is in this day and age?
Yeah, so a lot of people haven't been involved in politics or are too afraid to kind of get involved. They feel like they don't know enough, especially busy parents, especially women, I think. You know, it can be really complicated. There's so many different policy discussions going on, and I think that stops a lot of people from kind of like joining the conversation. And what we try to do is kind of make politics more approachable, accessible. We take sometimes really complicated policy discussions, legislation, really important elections, and we kind of break down all the political jargon and talk to people like real humans. And we kind of break it down into more like friendly, bite-sized chunks. And that's what we do. And that's why we started on Instagram, to kind of like just do quick posts on Instagram with what's going on and really tie those things back to like, okay, here's why it matters in your life. Because I follow politics pretty closely, but I have quite a few friends who do not. And I've had discussions with them about things that are going on, whether it was Roe that was being overturned or school shootings, things like that. And they're totally on the same page as me. They were devastated by those things. But then at the same time, they're like, well, I don't really follow politics. And so our goal is like, okay, but you have to follow politics because parenting is political, and being involved in politics and being an advocate in that space is one of the best ways we can advocate for our kids. We already do it at the doctor's office, at school, those kind of things. So we want to encourage people to also step up and include political action in their advocacy for their children. And so we kind of create these different posts and videos and smaller things that, like, yes, busy parents, but also anybody who just wants kind of some gateway politics and a friendlier discussion around it. We post these so people can not only get informed and have more confidence, but also encourage them to start having conversations in their own schools with their own friends, at the playground, at school pickup. Because once you start having these conversations with people, you realize the values we're talking about, a lot of people have the same values and they feel very similarly. But like you said, a lot of people stay home, especially with the Supreme Court election. Turnout is not great. People just don't know about it. They're busy. They don't think their vote matters. It does. It matters arguably maybe even more so than in presidential elections, going out to vote right now. So we're trying to encourage both, you know, through relational organizing, talking to our friends, and then also through social media, hoping people can really start and contribute to that conversation, because the more and more conversations we have with our people, then they'll hopefully have them with their people, and it's just kind of a domino effect.
And look, it's not just individual moms coming together and essentially partnering with each other, but the group itself has partners that help spread the word. Talk about some of the collaborations that go on with Motherhood for Good.
Yeah, we just had a little friend, Julia Louis-Dreyfus,
A little friend, a little actress.
I know, the Veep. I mean, come on. So that was pretty cool. Obviously, we've worked a lot with our friend Mandela Barnes as well. It's just so incredible. I saw Chelsea Handler reposted one of our reels yesterday, which was crazy to me. But I think it's crazy because these people really want to help what's going on in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is so important to the entire political ecosphere of our entire nation. And you have big names like that helping out. It just really goes to show how important this work is, how valuable they see kind of the work that we're doing and the people that we're talking to, and why everybody needs to get out and vote.
Nicole, and then we're going to get to, after we take a break, we're going to talk to all the rest of the members of the executive board here, Emily and Aaron and Danielle. Nicole, I got about 15 seconds for you to answer this. You find out Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to be one of your partners. How'd that feel?
The group chat blew up, Pat. We'll just leave it at that. It was amazing. And just, we're so thankful. I mean, I think we all do this right just because we're passionate about it. But when you realize how it does affect the entire country and you have supporters like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, oh, I mean, come on.
Such a difference you're making. All right. We wanted to get that quick update from Kate and Nicole. Now we're going to talk to the rest of the board after we take a quick break here about motherhood for good and tomorrow's election. We'll be back. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All right, just that reminder once again that Tuesday morning, Election Day morning, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, new Secretary of State for the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Godlewski, joins us at 7 and former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes at 7:30. If that's not enough to motivate you to vote, then listen to the five women that we have here. Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin, Aaron Phillips, Emily Tyne, Danielle Scampini, who wants to correct the record. She did vote in 2016, just not in Wisconsin, which I was living overseas at the time. And for some reason, after 2016, we came back to Wisconsin, Danielle. And
we felt important for some unknown reason.
For some reason, we felt like a calling to serve. Yes, exactly. Danielle, you're in the Milwaukee area. Talk about, as you've been active, trying to get the word out to parents about the importance of this election. Do you get a lot of pushback and skepticism, or were people just waiting for somebody to kind of give them a little nudge? What was that like?
You know, I think... we were out canvassing on Saturday, and it was, I was like pleasantly surprised by the amount of people who either already knew about the election or a couple people who were like, you know, thank you. It's really great to see people out. I've been deliberating on, you know, who to vote for. I'm planning on voting for, so it's really good to see you out here. Like, basically this matters to other people. And I think that's just, you know, a good reminder to all of us is that it, you know, just have the conversation. It might feel a little awkward, but you know, you never know who you're going to engage and make them feel like, yeah, this does matter to other people. It matters to me. My voice is important. It's important enough for these women to be out here in the blistery, you know, snow talking to me. That means it's important enough for me to go out, you know, even if it's a rainy day tomorrow, vote early, because this is important to members of my community.
Aaron, give us the elevator pitch. You know, why is this single Supreme Court race so important? I can give that answer from a political standpoint or a reporter standpoint. As a mom, why is this race so important?
For every single possible reason you could care about. So it's like a pyramid almost, right? Like, this race will affect who is going to make decisions for not only important issues in our state. So our the current 1849 abortion ban. I think, find me a woman, find me a mother who doesn't care about that issue, and I'd love to meet her, because I'll convince her to care about it. Fair maps, right? Like, that issue is going to come back before this court. If we can fix our maps in this state, well, there's our key to our legislature here. Right, to fair representation, to actually getting our legislature to hear bills on issues that affect our families day to day. And then, so those are for Wisconsin families, right? The whole country is counting on us, because this race is going to potentially impact broader elections across the country. You know, 2024 is obviously right around the corner. The playbook has been written, so to speak, on how to challenge the results of elections by, you know, Republican efforts. Dan Kelly helped write that playbook, by the way. Why would it be any different moving forward, right? So we have to anticipate that this court could hear that again. You know, we were one narrow vote away from almost siding with those Republican efforts to challenge the 2020 election results. As your earlier guest, Dan Kaufman, likes to say, I still can't believe we were that close, because it's pretty shocking. So we have to, you know, be anticipating that that's going to come back. And Judge Janet is who we need to make sure we're protecting not only our rights and our families' rights here in the state, but also, you know, standing up for the rest of the country who's counting on us here for, you know, democracy's sake.
Danielle, how do you talk to people about gerrymandering and what this means to a 50-50 state?
You know, it is challenging because a lot of people who aren't extremely politically engaged hear a term like gerrymandering, they're like, I don't know what that is, because it's not very clear if you haven't really looked into it. So if you think about the way that our elections on a statewide level have worked out for years and years, they're always on a razor thin margin. So if we had fair maps, you would think that, you know, our legislative elections should follow a similar path. But they don't, because the way that Kate's reel from earlier today on our Motherhood for Good Instagram account really.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that in the commercial break. Go to the Motherhood for Good Instagram account. Look at Kate's new video trying to explain gerrymandering using her kids' Legos and a chalkboard.
It truly is amazing, helpful, and show it to your kids. They will like it too. But basically, if we have a fair map, our state legislature should similarly mirror the way that our statewide races typically turn out. And that is just not the case. So if we can get another look at those maps, then we can actually have legislation going through our legislature that represents what members of our community are actually interested in. You know, gun safety reform, abortion access, LGBTQ issues, raising the freaking minimum wage. There's so many things that we have not been able to touch because our state legislature is doing absolutely nothing. They literally gavel in and gavel out because they have such control and they know that they're at this moment untouchable.
Right, because they've had that state Supreme Court as a backstop. And Emily, that's where we come in to talk about, in the terms of, you know, women having control over their own bodies, there is a lawsuit by the state attorney general that could eventually work its way to this state Supreme Court, right?
Yeah, definitely. So right after Roe fell in late June, Attorney General Josh Call put up a case in the Madison Circuit Court, basically arguing two things. The first, that there's been other legislation about abortion since 1849. That probably makes sense since that was before the Civil War. And so those things overrule that law. The second is just that if a law hasn't been used for a long time, which Roe was in place for almost 50 years when it fell, that it kind of shouldn't count anymore. So those two things are the case, and it is likely to work its way up to the Supreme Court. And Judge Janet has been very, very clear about what she plans to do with that. And Dan Kelly has shown us exactly where he stands with that. He has been supported by so many pro-life groups and has shown some extreme points of view, even about contraception and other things that could come. And if we think this 1849 ban is bad, other parts of our reproductive health are certainly going to be on the line. So we really, really have to take this into account. And like Aaron said, this is about healthcare, and it's about women and their children being safe. And our physicians right now are in such a terrible position, which I know has been talked about a lot on this show. I was at the rally yesterday in Madison, Rally for Our Rights, and several clinicians were there sharing their point of view. And what's happening in Wisconsin right now is just terrible. And we have the opportunity to change that tomorrow with our vote.
And we talked in our last hour with Dr. Lyerly about the New York Times article yesterday about how abortion politics is part of local races like the Green Bay mayor's race, because it's going to be on the ballot all the time now. Until those rights are restored, people are going to want to know how everybody on the ballot feels about whether, again, they should have control over their own bodies. And so that takes us to the local races, Kate. And we talked about this some time back, but that you should not sleep on your local school board races. There was maybe once upon a time school board races had candidates who maybe disagreed on the degree to which they would support public schools in this area versus that area. But we're increasingly finding people who get elected to school boards who I would describe as saboteurs, that they're just kind of looking to destroy it from within. But even if it's not that extreme, Kate, it's still important to know who's on the ballot.
Yes, school board races have gotten quite spicy, I will say that. There's a lot of really extreme right-wing groups like Moms for Liberty. There's some other ones that are really infiltrating school boards and trying to make change with basically a Christian nationalist agenda. They are anti-LGBTQ, anti-diversity, equity, things like that. They are pro-book banning, things like that. I'm not saying these are going to be in every race across the state, but there are quite a few. And so it's really important to pay attention to those. It's also quite harder to find information for those. They're on a local level, right? So there's like not as much noise for them. There's, of course, not as much funding for them. So you just don't see as much. So you have to do a little bit of digging. Definitely, if you have not voted yet, head on over to myvote.wi.gov so you can preview your ballot and see who, if you have a school board race on there. Do some research on those candidates. If you can't find anything, like a lot of times the candidates, some don't even have websites, but they'll have like Facebook pages for their candidacy. If you can't find any other information, it's great to put a note, ask a question in your neighborhood Facebook group, or ask, go in real life and ask your neighbors too. I know we're like a lot of us are millennials, but sometimes you got to just like talk to people in real life. Try to get some answers on that. We also have, if you head on over to Instagram at Motherhood for Good, a few posts back, you might have to scroll just a little bit. There's a post about school board races where we do have some tips on like language to look for that is concerning, things like back to basics, stuff like that. So that may be helpful. And then also we did a call to action in that post for people to flag really important school board races in their areas and who to vote for or not vote for. So if you head to that post, the people in the comments have like really rallied and provided some incredible information. So there's information on races all over the state in that comment section. So I highly suggest you guys heading over there.
Sure. And Nicole, why don't you take it from there and tell us what else folks can do? I don't know if you want to start with what's the least anybody could do, or, you know, how do you use these next 36 hours to their fullest potential? Somebody's hearing this for the first time. They don't know. There's not enough time to join a group or something, but they're hearing you. They're motivated and they want to go, what can I do today?
Well, obviously, you need to vote. So that's like step one. So myvote.wi.gov, you can find out where your polling place is, what's on your ballot, you know, all of that. Then you can register at the polls. So if you're not registered, that's fine. All the information you need is on that website, and you can show up at the polls and vote. But I think more importantly, I think what you can do today to help is don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. Posting on social media that's the new town square, right? So you can share our posts, you can create your own posts. Like we always say, you can screenshot our stuff and post it to your stories. It feels a little awkward at first, but I think what we've all found, particularly in this group, is there are so many people that are like us, right? And as soon as you see other people doing it, you're like, oh yeah, that's that struck a chord with me. I agree. So I think getting the word out is really, really important in whatever way you can do that. Make sure your family's voting. I know we all do that. We'll be like, oh, I just texted my mom and oh my goodness, she didn't realize X or something like that. Don't take for granted that the people in your circle know what you know. Have a conversation, make sure that they're set.
And Aaron, some of these things are a little unconventional. Sidewalk chalk, or when you place a Starbucks order, you know, what are some of these things about?
Yeah, so that one's a really fun one, right? Like change your name in any of your like ordering apps to like, you know, Vote Judge Janet or something like that. That can be just like a really fun kind of different way to engage like your baristas or people who like you might not have as much, like you can't text your baristas probably, right? Most of us don't have that kind of relationship. But just like different ways to open up the conversation and the dialogue. I think, you know, like Nicole was saying, it's like the more we normalize this being a point of discussion with our friends, with our parents in the pickup line at daycare or at school, or, you know, like our little playdate friends' parents, like any point of conversation that is maybe normally where politics is like hush hush, like we're trying to change that. Like it shouldn't be hush hush. It's just part of our daily lives and it affects us all. So literally anything you can do, paint your car, you know, like go on the street corner and wave your signs to vote, like anything. And every one of those little actions that like is maybe actually also really fun makes a difference gets this to be part of the bigger conversation.
Kate, just a couple of seconds left, but after Election Day, should they tune out politics till 2024 and the presidential, or how do they stay engaged after tomorrow?
Do not tune out. There's going to be a lot coming up, and it's not just about elections. There's legislation we need to move on to. There's policy issues. Stay involved. Make it a part of your everyday life. That's how it's going to make a difference.
I think you're going to help us do that, and I appreciate that very much. Kate, Nicole, Emily, Aaron, Danielle, thank you so much for what you do. Let's get through tomorrow, and we'll keep that civic engagement level up after that as well. So thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Go vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be back with Terry Bell and three things you should know to start the week. Next, you're up north. The Milwaukee Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the Chicago Cubs, winning yesterday 9-5. They won that 3-game series with 0 home runs, something that hasn't happened in about a year for that team. And that was after starting the season with a 16-inning scoreless streak. But the bats are slowly but surely coming to life. Jesse Winker had 2 hits and 3 RBIs. Christian Yelich, Garrett Mitchell, Ryan Turang also had 2 hits apiece. Today, Freddie Peralta will start for the Brewers in the home opener against the New York Mets. I was hoping to be there. I was hoping to be in that studio there right now with Terry Bell. And it just didn't work out that way because there's so much work to do before the election. Baseball's just going to have to wait for me. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. You know, you were talking about the Brewers. I was thinking about Team Streak when you were mentioning all of that. Way back in the 80s, wasn't that?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
How are you? How was the weekend?
It was a very nice weekend. I think we might be turning the corner to spring. Who knows?
That little by little, I was telling Aaron in our last hour, there's just something, I don't know about maybe for younger people, but for people my age, when you get to the liquor store, the grocery convenience store, you see these little folded up pieces of paper with the baseball schedules.
Yes.
So here's the Milwaukee Brewers baseball schedule for the year, and you can open this up, and just all the little blue squares and white squares, and you can plan out the games, and it makes me feel good. I'm not going to get to it this week, but sometime soon one of these games is going to happen, and it's going to be great. It's going to be spring.
It makes me feel good too, yeah, because in this digital age, you can still get those little paper schedules. And
well, something's got to go up on that refrigerator. You know, it's not going to be my artwork that's going to get up there. Hey, when we talk about three things to know for starting off the week,
yes,
let's not start with the obvious. Let's start with something folks probably aren't aware of, and that is the day after the election, we return to regularly scheduled programming, which in the case of Wisconsin government is the state budget, and the next phase of it kicks off on Wednesday.
Yeah, politics as usual, as you just mentioned. The state budget, that document that we've been talking about for many weeks, there hasn't been a lot of movement since the governor's budget address. This past week or so, and in earnest this week, is the real heavy lifting on the budget. Some hearings from agency heads have been held. More are coming up. And this week, too, begins the process where the public gets to weigh in on their priorities. That begins Wednesday in Waukesha. And Senator Howard Markline, who's one of the Republicans driving that Joint Finance Committee bus, the powerful Joint Finance Committee, as we often hear it called, says that there may be votes on the budget as early as the first week of May. So it's going to be a very busy April, you would assume, for lawmakers drafting up the taxing and spending blueprint for the next 2 years.
Right. And as far as those hearings, again, the first one is Wednesday at the Waukesha County Expo Center. Then next week, Tuesday, April 11th at the UW Eau Claire Davies Center. The next day, Wednesday, April 12th, will be at Wisconsin Dells at the Wilderness Resort. And then Wednesday, April 26th in Minocqua at Lakeland Union High School. There's also an online way for people to give their comments on the budget, or they can email the budget committee. We'll try to get those posted someplace for folks that might want to do that. But, you know, for all the, we don't, ever want people thinking that, you know, state government is a one-way street. There actually are ways for you to get your input in there. We just don't talk about it enough, that there are ways for you to put your two cents in.
Yeah, this is direct democracy, you might want to say. And also, those are just the official hearings. There are going to be a number of unofficial hearings that lawmakers will have on their own, typically in their own districts. So there will be plenty of opportunity for you to have your voice heard.
So that is one of the three things to know about this week. The other two are more familiar. One, of course, is tomorrow's expected official charging with criminal charges of a former U.S. president. Look, think about it what you will, but tomorrow is going to be a milestone day in American history.
Yeah, I think I buried the lead here by putting the former president's indictment at number two. But yes, absolutely, the first time in history a former United States president faces criminal charges. These charges tomorrow that will be dealt with in all likelihood deal with supposed payments to women that he had intimate relationships with, that he tried to pay them house money to cover them up. But that may be just the beginning. He's facing several other investigations that could lead to legal problems. There's a civil trial coming up, scheduled to start in New York next month, over a columnist claims that the former president raped her in the 1990s. So there's just such a growing cloud of scandal over him. And, you know, It's might be the tip of the iceberg.
I'd borrow the joke that Colin Jost made on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, that while a lot of legacy media are talking about just the historical thing of, oh, we've never had this happen before to a former president, you know, for a lot of folks, the headline is former president that many people suspect has always been a criminal is caught criming and is going to be charged for it. This is not... It would be shocking if Barack Obama were marched into a courtroom tomorrow and charged with something criminal. It is less shocking for somebody who has bragged about the way he has avoided taxes over the years on his businesses and the way that he gets things done. And look, that was part of his appeal. He's a businessman. He gets things done. But we do have to have a different standard for our public officials. We just do, or you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's a good point, Pat. There's very little that's going to roll out in the next weeks and months that we don't already know or suspect. So this has all been out there. This information has been out there for quite a long time. Now it's just getting to the legal process.
And if there's one more thing you should know to start this week, there's an election tomorrow. And Terry's going to be a little busy with it.
Oh, my gosh. What an election that is. And there's some talk now that perhaps the president's arraignment tomorrow, if that happens, might be a factor in the race for Wisconsin's Supreme Court. There is some speculation, some thought that if Trump supporters want to, you know, voice their displeasure with the situation, one way they may do that is to go out and vote for Dan Kelly. Now, that could cut both ways. People who are inclined to vote for Janet Protasiewicz may feel the motivation to come out as well and, you know, make their voices heard that they don't want this to be the standard going forward. So it'll be interesting to see. Turnout's going to be high for a Supreme Court, for a, you know, a spring off-year election anyway. But, you know, these events nationally may color Wisconsin too. There are also three things happening in Wisconsin that are really interesting. The Supreme Court has been taking all the attention. Very interesting developments in Green Bay, the race for mayor. A lot of outside money has gone into that race, and a lot of that has to do with the controversies in the recent past about voting, the voting system in Green Bay, drop boxes and whatnot, and opportunities for early voting. There's an effort to maybe, you know, get a new mayor in there and change that. In the 8th Senate District, this will decide whether Republicans have a supermajority and whether or not Republicans in the Senate might be able to go ahead and launch impeachment proceedings. They might not go as high as, say, Governor Doyle or Attorney General
Josh Hall. Yeah.
But
and what's our third one, quick?
The third one, quick, is again the Trump factor potentially.
Of course. All right, Terry. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Pat.
It. All right, Mandela Barnes and Sarah Godlewski tomorrow. You have a great Monday for Election Day coverage tomorrow morning at 6:00.